All right, so now we're going to have our message. I'm going to ask our guest, our speaker, Willie De Jesus. You guys give it up for Willie. Some of you guys may not know who he is, but he's important. He's to God. He's important to God and to his wife and probably children. Yeah. But he is what's called the assistant territorial youth secretary. He does a lot of youth stuff. Okay. So, he's a good guy to know. I've known him for a while. He's known me probably since, I don't know how old I was, but he's known me since I was young. And he's got a good word for us tonight, so I'm going to pray for him, and then we're just going to listen to what God has to say through him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Willie. I thank you, God, for what you have put on his heart. Lord, I know that you have something you want to share through him to us. God, something that you know we need to hear. And Lord, I just pray for mercy for the times we've just blocked you out, we've been distracted, or we've just not paid attention to you. And I just pray you would help us to not do that just for the short time, God. Help us to hear you speak, God. Use Willie, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. How are you guys doing today? Okay. Tired? Okay. I know it's kind of hard to be seated there. That's why us old people were sitting over there with the back, so we can kind of lean back a little bit. I want to start off by telling a little story, something that happened to me and my two younger brothers. We were right outside Kmart. We were about maybe 10, 9, and 8 with my brothers. And my mom, I'm sure you guys could probably relate to this when you were kids, not now probably. But we were standing outside the store, and my mom always had the same speech, okay, and threats. I guess it's probably more threats than the speech. And she would just take us all, and she would huddle us, and she says, okay, we're going to go into the store. So help me, okay, if I find you touching something, running around, and she went on and on with the list, don't embarrass me, okay, because I'll embarrass what? You. All right? I love that one. And she did embarrass me, too. And she says, don't forget, you're coming home with me. All right, so we heard all of that, and she says one famous one was, look, but don't touch. Okay, you probably heard that one before, look, but don't touch. And I mean, how can you really say that to boys? You know, to sons, that's like saying, go ahead and touch anything you want kind of thing. And so another famous line was, see with your eyes, not with your hands. My mom, she was born in Puerto Rico, and I love her. But she gets a little confused sometimes, especially with the little sayings. And instead of saying seeing with your eyes or see with your eyes, not with your hands, she would say touch with your eyes, not with your hands. Okay, so she would always say touch with your eyes. And, of course, us boys being smart alecks and stuff, we would say, oh, we can touch with our eyes. So we would go around the store and just start touching stuff. We're like, look at mommy, I'm touching with my eyes. And she's like, you're coming home with me. Don't forget, okay? So it didn't make any sense to us. Of course, we touched with our eyes, then we touched with our hands, and then, of course, something fell, and then we got in trouble, and the rest is for another message of what happened to us once we got home. So, but why did we want to touch so badly? Why did I want to just go into the store, and I saw all the toys, and they were so great, they were so sparkly, and things were moving when you turned the on and the off button, and it was just great. And there was one item, and I was able to find a picture. I think you guys have it here. It's called Sea Monkeys. Who remembers Sea Monkeys? Lisa, you don't? Okay, you remember. Okay, Sea Monkeys, they still have them around. I was doing a little research, I mean like a one-minute research, to check out. They're not naked, I don't think. But this was an old ad back in the early 70s that was inside the comic books. And so my brothers and I, we would look at this and we say, oh, the sea monkeys, you see the picture over there? They're all happy and the family's all together. And you see the sea monkeys inside and, you know, they just look so happy. And it says right there, so eager to please, they can even be trained. They can go through hoops. And I remember the commercials on TV and they can do all kinds of tricks. And I just started fantasizing. I need to get me some sea monkeys. I'm going to name them. I'm going to pet them and cuddle with them and do all kinds of stuff. And I'll have them jump through hoops and I'll have them go backwards and doing all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I went into the Kmart and I saw the sea monkeys. It came in a little plastic aquarium. with the little magnifying things on there. And I just, I couldn't help it. I had to touch. I had to see if this was for real. You know, I had to touch and see with my own eyes if this is really true. Sea monkeys. Because, you know, adults don't lie to kids. So this has to be true. I just love this thing. So anyway, later I found out once I had my little, actually I just talked to my brother today. And he remembered our sea monkeys because I came home and I put the little packet in the water and stirred it up and waited a couple days. And the sea monkeys, actually they were real, the sea monkeys, but they never did tricks. They didn't really have a smile like that. I tried to really look hard on the little magnifying glass thing. And it was just, I don't know, it just didn't work. And one day we were just running around and of course it fell and all my little sea monkeys were just around everywhere. I mean, I was better off getting a little pot because what they really were shrimp. That's all it was. Just shrimp. It just, you know, hatches, I don't know, eggs. I'm not too good with biology, science, all this other stuff. But it was shrimp, I later found out. I mean, I was better off getting a little pot, putting a little water in there, bring it to a nice little boil, boil the little shrimp or the sea monkeys, get some hot sauce, and have me a little meal. Because I know that thing was never going to do any tricks or stunts for me. Now, in the passage, which was one of the first passages that you guys read there, we read about a man who also wanted to see for himself before he believed. He wanted to see, he wanted to touch, before he can get to the point to say, I believe. And before we get to him, let me just share a little bit of background leading up to him. Jesus was with the disciples for 3 years. That you guys know that he did all kinds of great things, miracles, and he spoke with authority. And one of these disciples is named Thomas that we see in the passage of today. It's in John 20, 24 to 29. If you have your Bibles, just have it open there. So I'll be jumping back and forth to that. But right before that, in John 20, we know that Thomas was one of the disciples. He was with them. We see that you guys know the story, the empty tomb. We know that Jesus died. He was resurrected. They go into the tomb. He's not there. They just see the cloth just kind of folded there real nice. And so they come in. They tell Peter. Peter goes running with this other person. And the other disciple, I'm not sure who that was, they say he saw and he believed. He looked in there. He saw it was empty. It's interesting that his first thought was, I believe. I wonder what he believed. But it just says he believed. I tend to think and believe that Jesus was who he said he was when he was on the earth. So he went in and he saw, as we see there in verse 8 of chapter 20. And then we jump down. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene because she's crying and she's wondering where is Jesus. And we jump over to verse 17 or to 18. Mary Magdalene then goes to the disciples with the news, I have what? Seen the Lord. I have what? I've seen the Lord. So she testified. She tells the disciples. And then we get to verse 19 that I want to share with you right now. And it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, because they were afraid of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, this next passage right here, section that I want to share with you again, is in verse 24 that you guys heard. I want you, whenever, this kind of goes with what I want to talk about, but it's a little hint, maybe a little tool that you can use in your own Bible reading. Whenever you read the Bible, whenever you hear the scripture, I want you to sit down as if, and when you read it as if you're having a conversation with Jesus. Ask questions as you're reading it, because guess what? You are having a conversation with Jesus. Jesus is there as you're reading his word. And I try to do that. I try to get into that mindset and say, okay, Jesus, what is it you want to talk to me? Have a conversation with him. Have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you read his word. And I want you guys to do that as we look at this, because we're going to be coming back and forth to this passage here. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." So that's very interesting that Thomas was not there. And you would think that the disciples' testimony, when they came up to Thomas, when they said, "Hey, we saw Jesus," that Thomas would what? Believe. But no, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for Thomas. Thomas wants to see for himself. He wants to see, there's three things. He wants to see the what? Yeah, he wants to see the scars, the nail marks on Jesus. He wants to, not only that, he wants to take his finger and he wants to put it where? Where the nails were. And if that's not enough, he says, "I really want to know if this is Jesus for real. I want to take my hand and I want to put it where? Not just touch it, but he's saying where? Go right on in." Okay? I'm sure the disciples, when he said that there in verse 25, so the disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to him, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and so forth, I would not believe it." I'm sure the disciples probably go, "Ooh, that's nasty. Are you sure? You serious? Because if Jesus appears right now, you better do it." All right? Don't be playing around like that. If you're going to do it, do it. But he says that. He says, "I want to just go and just touch." It was like me there at the camera. "I got to touch the sea monkeys. I got to see if it's real." So he had a lot of stipulations. Before we come down too hard on Thomas, because I actually like Thomas, and I'll share with you a few reasons why I like Thomas. How many times have we done that in our Christian walk? How many times have we said, "God, if you just get me out of this mess, man, I'm going to follow you forever. If you can just show me this one sign of what I'm supposed to do with my life, I will follow you. I will know for real then you're real. God, if you can just come and just help me to feel your presence, then I'll know you're real. Because right now, I don't know, I feel nothing." Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Is God real? Is this Christianity real? Is faith real? I mean, we get a little fuzzy and feel all warm when we're singing the songs, especially that beautiful song. And I heard, I'm not going to point, but I heard some of the, one of the chorus said, "Oh, I love this song." Okay, I wasn't going to say anything, but it was them over there. And I love that song too. But what is it really doing to us? Does it really transform us? Does it change us? Or do we just get the warm, fuzzy feelings and we go out and then it's just like the same old thing over and over again? I don't know. Christianity's got to be more than that. It's tough. It's interesting that Thomas saw a lot up to this point while he was with Jesus. He saw Jesus heal the man with the shriveled hand and all other kinds of diseases. He saw Jesus, how he spoke with authority. He heard him. He even saw Jesus bring Lazarus back from the dead. I mean, if you don't believe now, I don't think you'll ever believe. He was there with Jesus for 3 years. And after Thomas's wish, his desire to go in and touch and all over the place, we see here in verse 26a, "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them." So a week passed by, no sign, no words from God. Jesus did not show up, no miracles, nothing. How many of you, and I want you to show of hands, how many of you have ever felt like God was just not around? Have you ever felt that? I have. Have you ever felt that in your life, that he's not present, that he's not there in the darkest time of your life? I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I still have those days. Sometimes when I just feel like I'm all alone and I'm just like, "God, where are you? Where are you? I really need you. If there was ever a time I needed you, I need you right now. Where are you, God?" When we're being bullied at school, "God, where are you?" When we're going through an abuse, "God, where are you?" When we see our mom and our dad fighting, when we go outside onto the streets and all we see are drugs and violence and prostitutes and all kinds of just bad things going on. "God, where are you? Where are you, God, when I continue to struggle with this sin in my life? I pray to you. I get up. I feel pretty good. Then the next minute, next day, I end up doing the same sin again. God, where are you? Make yourself real to me. Have you ever felt that way? There might be some of you who are feeling that way right now. Where are you, God? But you're not alone. Psalms are great of just sharing those things that are going on in our hearts. Psalm 13 says, you don't have to look, but just listen. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? This is David. King David says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But, and here's an important part, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So when I don't feel like it, I will trust. When it hurts too much, I will trust. When I don't see you, God, I will trust. Somehow, somewhere, sometime, God comes. And what does it say here? Though the doors were locked, in verse 26, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace with you. I don't make too many promises. I leave that all to God. But I do make this promise based upon promises that we see in the Bible. God will show up. He will show up. If you just trust and you believe, he's already there. It almost depends on us to show up because God is there anyway. In those darkest times, even Jesus on the cross, do you realize that? Even Jesus on the cross felt alone and abandoned. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then he continued on and he died for our sins, for his love for us. He obeyed and went to death. Somehow, somewhere, sometime in some way, God comes. Do you believe that? Think about that. God shows up in your darkest time. That's faith made real. And I'm not sure if it's intentional or not, but the order is reversed. When Jesus finally does show up, in verse 25, we see Thomas where he says, I want, unless I see the nail marks, I put my finger where the nails were, I put my hand into his side. Jesus now says in verse 27, put your finger here. See my hands, is what Jesus is saying. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Many Christians say it's not see and you will believe. It's what? Believe and you will see. Believe and you will see. So in a sense, Jesus, when he said put, it was like an act of faith. Thomas still had to act upon what he said. He had to show faith by putting his finger. And I'm sure the disciples are like, oh my, no, he didn't. He is actually going to touch. This is Jesus, and he's out there reaching his hand. And it took faith. He took risk. I like Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas all the time, but I think oftentimes we're just too hard on Thomas. He acted. He took risk. He asked those tough questions. And he wanted to believe. I wonder, did Thomas not believe in Jesus before this encounter? When he saw those miracles, did Jesus believe? I don't know. I want to say yes. So when he says, I believe, or when he says, my Lord and my God, after he touched, is he just believing now for real? Or was he just believing more? Or what is going on? Whatever the answer, I'm sure that after this encounter with Jesus, Thomas was changed forever. And he lived like he believed. He lived like he believed. And the same can be for us. In verse 29, it ends there. It says, then Jesus told him, after Thomas said, my Lord and my God, he believed, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's where faith comes in. Did you know that you guys are fortunate? It just seems like, man, I wonder, I wish I could have been there and seen Jesus and been able to see all the miracles, because I know my faith would have been so much stronger. But I wonder if I would have been like Thomas or even other people, still kind of saying, oh, I saw that, but give me something a little more. Okay, that was pretty good, pulling a coin out of the fish. That was a good one. Show me something else. And don't we do that in our own lives too? Show me something else, God. Show me something else, because I'm running on low here. How was it that those people, when they saw Jesus, didn't believe? They touched, they felt, they saw, and still nothing. I look at them and say, man, how blind. But Jesus, God is still here. I want everybody to look up here. God is here. Jesus is here. He's still present. And not only that, he continues to show himself in real tangible. Tangible are the things that we touch. This table, I know it's real because I'm touching it. And I can feel it. It's tangible. I'm touching it. It's here. But you know what? That our faith, God, Christianity, can be just as, if not more tangible than this table we see right here. Depends on us too. Real faith, real Christianity comes down to relationship, I believe, with God. It's being aware, realizing that you are in fact in a relationship with God. When you mess up, you're still in that relationship with God. During the good times, the bad times, the quiet times, when you don't even, oh, where are you, God? You still have to be aware of that relationship with him. You are in a relationship with God if you call yourself a Christian. And I would imagine that this type of arrangement might not work with flesh and blood. I'm going to admit something to you. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm kind of proud of it too. If it's okay to be proud, I don't know, we'll talk about that later. But I had, back in elementary school, I had a lot of girlfriends. I know it's hard for you to believe. Some are like, yeah, right. He had no girlfriends. I think he married the first girlfriend he had, you know, that kind of thing. But I had a bunch of girlfriends, okay? Here's where the problem was, that all those girlfriends, okay, didn't know that they were my girlfriends, okay? So that could be a problem, okay? So I had this relationship with these girlfriends that didn't even know my name. Okay, I never walked with them. I was too scared to talk to them. I never sat next to them at the in the cafeteria. But I would go around and say, yeah, that's my girlfriend right there. I had a bunch of girlfriends. But we never had, it was, I guess I could say it was a fake relationship. But you know what? As I think about our relationship with God, don't we do that sometimes? Yeah, I believe in God. I know there's a God. I'm a Christian. I follow God. But do we really have a relationship with God? Are we walking with God? Are we seeking God? Are we talking to God? Are we spending time with God? It's different with God, and I may say that it's even more real. When our spirit, my soul, my spirit, connects with God's spirit, there's that relationship. There's that connection. That's where the faith becomes real. In John 4, if you want to look in John 4, it's the woman at the well, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's just very interesting, and it's taken out of the Message translation or the paraphrase. The woman at the well, we know the story where Jesus is walking through, and he sees this woman, and this woman begins to ask questions, and then he tells this woman at the well, believe me, woman, the time is coming, in verse 21, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark, and we Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming, in fact it has come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. This is very important. It's who you are. Listen up. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. And those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. It's so weird, because if we want our faith to be more tangible, if we want our faith to be more real, we actually have to tap into that spiritual part of our lives. You know, we're spiritual beings. Let's not forget that. When we die, this body here that has so many girlfriends back in elementary school, it's just going to be dust. It doesn't matter anymore. It's the spirit. It's the soul. It's what's inside. And it's that spirit and soul that we can use even now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to connect with the Spirit of God even now. Sounds creepy. It's so spooky, scary. But it's good stuff too. Okay? That's where we connect. That's where our faith is made real. And listen, so I challenge you, for example, to, I don't know, I want to give you there's a bunch of things you can do, but I would just challenge you to just, when you're walking to school, just start talking to God out loud. Say, hey, God, how you doing? I'm okay. I've been having trouble with this one guy that keeps bothering, keeps messing me. And I don't know. God, I'm just going to snap. I'm just going to go off. So you got to help me, God. And as you're walking, you could be moving your lips. You're talking out loud. And if people look at you and people are honking their horns and say, who is that crazy person? I don't care. Act crazy. Okay? Crazy for the Lord. Act crazy. When you're in the car, turn the radio off. Start talking to God. And why? Because he's there. Just like I can talk to you and you talk to me, I can also talk to God. But we forget that, because everything that we see, everything that seems real to us right now, is what we only can see and touch. But there's so much more to our lives than just what we see and what we can touch. Hebrews 11, I'm glad that you read that as one of the things that I actually had it on one of my verses here. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, the message says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle. It's what we can hold on what we can't see. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. So it's faith is taking that step towards God in our Christian walk. I asked you this before. Aren't you tired of the same old in your Christian walk? I'm not saying that we have to have explosions and fireworks every day of our lives, but just to have that, I just want to be a little bit closer to God in my walk with him. You know, at the age of 17, I was in such a, and I don't talk about it much, and I was in such a severe depression at the age of 17. I knew God, but I didn't really know God. I knew he existed, but I just didn't have that relationship. And I had such a tough time. My parents were always fighting. There were so many problems going on in my life that I attempted to end my life in various occasions. There were a few times that I tried to do it. 17 is a rough year for me. But you know what? That I saw Jesus. I really did see Jesus when he put someone in my path and he was able to talk to me and I was able to share those feelings with me. Years later, as a missionary, my family and I, we went to Argentina. And I remember this little boy, about 6 or 7 years old, face all dirty. He lived right behind the core that we were pastoring at. It was just a tiny little shack. When it rained, it just flooded, and it got muddy because their floor was actually a dirt floor. And this little boy would come every Sunday. And I remember looking at him one day. His clothes were like rags. And he sat at the table, and we had this time where we gave him breakfast. And we gave him the little cup, and it wasn't much. We gave him a few little pastries, and he sat there, and all of a sudden, his face lit up. You know, I saw God that day. I sensed God's presence that day. I saw Jesus the other day while running. I think you guys have seen a poster of me with the, I was at the marathon there. I don't know what I was doing with this thing, and I was there. And I don't know what I was doing. But anyway, maybe I was saying, I give up. Jesus, take me now. I don't know. And I was only on mile 8. I had like, 18 miles to go. but I remember running the same path that I pretty much run almost every day. And I'm running, and then I do my 6-7 miles or whatever it is. But I remember one time I'm running about halfway through, the sun was setting, and then I just stopped and looked around. There were no mountains, just a ball field. But I stopped and just thought about God. And I just sensed God's presence. I saw God that night. I felt God there with me, and I worshiped him. There was no cross. There was no music. There wasn't the instruments and all kinds of, there wasn't even a message. But I saw God there. And we can see God even now. In the ordinary, the routine, God can be seen there also. I want to read this to end. The 24 to 29. I'm just going to read just the last verse there, the 29th verse, and just going to finish up here. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I want you to close your eyes right now. And I just want to ask you a couple questions. And I just want you to think about the story of Thomas, the disciples, Jesus showing up. I just want to ask you a couple questions and just answer it in your own mind, your own soul, and your own spirit. I wonder which is the most important part of this story for you. I wonder where you are in this story. And I wonder who you are in this story. I wonder what it means to have a real and tangible faith. Reach out your hand to God. It's okay. You're allowed to touch, you're allowed to feel, you're allowed to see Jesus in and around you and live like you believe. And with your eyes closed, if you forget everything I've said to you today, you probably won't forget about the sea monkeys. But if you forget everything, remember this. These are two questions that I use oftentimes, and you're going to have an opportunity to also answer other questions around here in the wall. But I want you to think about these two questions right now as we get ready to sing this song. These questions are something that I use as I walk around, as I'm going to Jewel Osco, and I'm waiting in line. I can't believe that this person is taking out all of these little coins to pay for this thing. Just give them the dollar and keep the change, that kind of thing. But just think about this. Where have you seen Jesus today? Where have you seen Jesus today? In the ordinary, you were walking, you were just talking with a friend, you were sitting at Wendy's, and you see a family there, and you just get reminded of how God is your heavenly Father. Where have you seen Jesus today? The second thing is, where have you missed Jesus today? We're human, and we let those opportunities go where we can actually experience God's presence. Where have you seen Jesus today, and where have you missed Jesus today? I think that song that we sang is great, that doxology, and I think we're going to be singing that one now, especially that line where it says, I do believe. You can open your eyes now. I do believe. And then the next part, which is kind of weird. It seems like it doesn't go together. I do believe. I will believe. Okay, you either believe or you don't believe. But I kind of like it. Because I believe in God. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus Christ that he came. He died for your sins. But you will continue to also believe. It doesn't just end there. You have to take that step and keep pushing and look for Jesus in all these different circumstances, even in the toughest, darkest times in your life. I will believe that Jesus died for me.
So if you could go to the next slide. Yep. We're going to do something different to respond. One of the things I love about our church, the Salvation Army, is that we always give a chance for people to respond. Okay, so you've heard something, now what? Instead of just letting it go in your own and out the other, we give an opportunity right now to just kind of think about it. And typically, we have like an altar and people come forward and pray, and that's totally available still tonight at the front of the stage. You can come up and pray or pray where you're at. But what I'd really like for everyone to do is you'll see on the wall, there are these giant post-it notes, and they have questions on them, the questions that are up here on the screen. And at each kind of station, there's one there, one back there by the Rollins, if you could raise your hands. There's one over there. There's one over in the bookcase, and then there's another one above Cassie's head, if you could raise your hand. Thank you. So there's four around here, each with a different question. And at each station is just a pile of Post-it notes and some pens. And I just want you to take like a Post-it note for each question and just respond that way. And the questions are, what is God calling you to do in response to the teaching tonight? In what area of life do you need to have more faith? Where do you see Jesus in your daily life? And how have you seen that he is real? And how do you know you are a Christian? In what ways can God be more real to you today? So I'm going to play some music, and I just want you guys to get up and respond by that way.